The discussion that we were in the middle of is that the Mishnah taught that whenever there is a mixture of tastes, it could be kachim into kachim kalim, it could be something pasul going into another karban, it could be a karban going into chulin. So now if the taste is still accessible, so it's as if the taste is here, right? If we had a karban cooked with chulin, and a kohen tasted the chulin, and when he eats this chulin, he feels this karban taste in it. So now it's as if it's a karban; it has to be treated like a karban. So the Gemara said, well, "How do you know this? How do you know that karbano, this law of kol nogea b'vsara yikdash, whatever touches it becomes its status, so long as it has the same taste, as long as the taste can be felt." How do you know that that applies to all karbanos and not just to chatas? It's a verse about chatas. So the Gemara said, well, to answer that question, it's because ultimately many of the karbanos are linked to each other. The pasuk says, Zos toras ha'ola ha'mincha ha'chatas ha'shlamim. So, v'hamiluim, zos ha-Torah le'ola v'la-mincha v'la-chatas v'la-asham v'la-miluim u'le-zevach ha-shlamim. So the Torah, by linking all these karbanos to each other, is saying that you derive basically every other karban from each karban. So what do you learn from each one? So now let's go back to that point. We'll start at the widest line here on Sadi Zayin Amid Beis. It says, so what do you derive from each one? The fact that all the karbanos are compared to la'ola is ki ola. That tells you a law that all karbanos are like ola. Ma ola tu'una kli, just like ola needs a holy vessel, af kol tu'una kli. Every karban needs a holy vessel. The question is, my kli, what holy vessel are you referring to? Ilema mizrak, that the blood has to be caught in a bowl that's holy. Why do you have to learn that from the word Oli? You could learn that from the word Miluim. When there were the Karbanos Miluim, actually later, when there was communal Karbanos, communal Shlamim at Matan Torah, and there was the Bris, the covenant that God made up with us, it says, Vayikach Moshe Chatzi Adzah, Moshe took half the blood, Vayasim Ba'aganos, he put it into bowls. So you see that the Shlamim brought by the nation also has to have blood in vessel. So why learn it from the word la'ola? You could learn it from the word ulezevach hashlamim. Elas, okay, it's not for the bowls of blood. It's to tell you, you need a holy vessel for the shechita itself, for sakin. That the blood, that the shechita has to be done with a knife, a holy vessel, and not with a stone. Ola gufa minol, and how do we know in an ola that it had to be with a knife? Because it says by the Akeda that when Avram put the ram in place of Yitzchak, Avram threw out his hand, he pushed his hand, and he took the knife. That was an ola. It says, he made it an ola in place of his son. It would have otherwise been the ola. Okay, what do you learn from the next words? The words, what do you learn from the word mincha? Mincha? Just like a mincha is only eaten by males, male kohanim, all karban is only eaten by male kohanim, not by, you know, female kohanim. Mayhi. So what are we learning from? What are we learning to, actually? In regards to chatas, they have explicit verses saying it's only for the males. It says, kol zachar b'kohanim yochlanu. And with chatas it says, kol zachar b'kohanim yochal oso. And if you're talking about the shlamim, then there's a special pasuk for that. So the Gemara says, it's on the verse that says, every male will eat it. So that tells you that the shalmei tzibur, the shlamim brought by the nation, have to be eaten by males. So the Gemara says, well, actually, Tanayi, it's a machlokas Tanayim, what's the source that Shalmei Tzibur are eaten by male Kohanim? Ikadin Afle Mehacha, some learn it from this pasuk that you just quoted. And Ikadin Afle Mehacha, some will learn it from the pasuk that we were beginning with, from the word Mincha. Okay.
The male child?
Yeah.
Okay.
So now, none of this is why we quoted this pasuk. The reason why we quoted the pasuk was because we wanted to know what's the source that in other karbanos also, if a taste goes into the meat, that meat's going to have the status of this taste. So now that's the real source. Now is why we quoted it. And the Torah goes on to say chatas. What is the lesson from chatas? Amachatas miskadeshes bivalua, avkol miskadeshes bivalua. Just like a chatas sanctifies what it touches and what it puts its taste into, all karbanos will sanctify other meat that they put their taste into that meat. Okay? Now the pasuk goes on and says, Asham. What do we learn from Asham? Now an Asham has to be male. So Asham says, you do the following. Asham, Asham ein shvir v'shil yakadosh bo. In a male, you don't have the sack of the fetus, the fetal sack, or the placenta holy, because there is no fetus in a male. So since all the karbanos are compared to Asham, afkolin shvir v'shil yakadosh bo. So even those karbanos that can be brought as a female, let's say a chatas, if the chatas is pregnant, so the fetus and the fetal sac and the placenta, they're not going to have the status of a carbon. It's the rest of the animal that will be a carbon, but not the baby inside.
Oh,
good. So Baruch says, but why not? Well, so here's the lesson. It's a pasuk. Kasavar, and what this time holds like this. Vlados kachim b'avayasan hein kedoshim. Now, if you have a carbon, the carbon gives birth. Once the child is born, so then it becomes holy. But when the child is inside the shlamim, or inside the chatas, so the fetus inside is not holy, it's when it's born that he becomes holy. So how do we learn it? V'danan efshar mishi efshar. We derive, she can only bring it as a carbon once it's 8 days old, but in terms of it having sanctity, being born will give it the sanctity. The fact that it was born from a holy carbon will give it sanctity, even though it itself, when it was inside this carbon, didn't have sanctity. And we derive this from, we learn this from Asham. Now, even though Asham is male, so it's not possible to have a placenta, you can learn a law about the placenta in females from that which it's not possible to have a placenta.
So they have different rules for human beings versus animals? Pregnant woman, pregnant animal?
Yeah, maybe there's some, at least in regards to carbonos, there's a difference. Maybe in other areas, not.
We say, you know, like the baby in mother's stomach.
That's right, we've said earlier, uber yerach imo, that the baby is the extension of the mother, but that's maybe true in other halachos, not in regards to karbanos, because of this special pasuk, asham, that everything is compared to an asham. Then the pasuk compares it to miluim, to the karbanos miluim that were brought for the 7 days when they were sanctifying the kohanim. So we learn from that like this, ma miluim mosreim bisreifa. The miluim, there was no leftovers. You know, it wasn't as if that they brought two karbanos miluim, maybe we'll lose one, and then one was brought and the other one wasn't lost. Or maybe one was lost, and then they brought a replacement, and they found the original. And that didn't happen with the miluim. So, in the miluim, whatever was left over was burned. The pasuk says, "Mi vaser, mi b'sar, mi luim, min alechem adaboker v'saraftas anoser ba'esh." V'ein ba'alei chayim b'mosrein. There was no leftover living animal. That some other animal was there because two had been brought. Maybe one is going to be. But maybe one will be lost. Let's have a backup. There were no backups. So af kol, so too, in all karbanos, mosrei hen b'sreifa. If the meat of the carbon itself becomes nosar, becomes left over, it wasn't eaten when it was supposed to be eaten, it's supposed to be burned. Ve'en ba'alei chayim b'mosrei hen. But if you bring, let's say you have to bring a chata, so you show up in the Beis HaMikdash with two animals because you're worried, you're obsessive compulsive, maybe you're going to lose one. And in fact, one gets brought, the other one doesn't. So the other one doesn't get burned. There's no such thing as the law of nosar and leftovers of that which is living. Nosar is the leftover of a dead animal. What's that, Izzy? Those are the karbanos during the end of Parshas Pekudei, when we were dedicating the Kohanim, the 7 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
How did the Kohanim, you know, distinguish the taste of this meat? They were all...
He knew what the taste was like.
You know, animal, shech, and put them on a grill.
He knew what the difference between
different spices and the different.
Maybe he knew based on the spices. Yeah, remember the Kohanim when they would eat it, they would be very elaborate.
No food.
They knew their food. Roger, you're preparing Bezrat Hashem, right? Can't wait. All right. Then what do we learn from the word shlamim? Says shlamim. That's to say like this. Mashlam mefaglin. Just like in shlamim, there's the concept of pigle, because that's actually where we have the pasuk about pigles in regards to shlamim. Umis paglim, and even the wine that accompanies the shlamim, the nesachim, can become pigle. In other words, a wrong thought, declared wrong thought. To eat it at the wrong time would make it into pigle and then prohibited. Afkol, so too with all karbanos mefaglim and misfaglim, they can become pigle and their nesachim, if let's say an ola has nesachim, it can also become pigle. All right, that was the end of that lesson. Another source from Asnisa Tanur, the Braisa was taught Mishmei Rabbi Akiva, the name of Rabbi Akiva. What do you learn from Mincha? Ma Mincha Mekadesh is Bevalua, just like a Mincha, if it touches some other dough, or it touches even meat, it'll put the taste into the meat or the dough and sanctify them with its status. So to all karbanos, they can put their taste into other things and sanctify those other things with their status. So in other words, the Gemara is now going to ask, we just learned that from Chatas, why do we need to have the word mincha teaching us that, according to Rabbi Akiva? The answer is, v'itzrich mechtav mincha. We need to learn it both from Mincha and from Chatas. If we would only have learned it from Mincha, I would say that which Mincha, when is that true? Since the Mincha is soft, that's why, you know, some of it gets absorbed into the meat that it touches. Aval Chatas, but when Chatas, we're not talking about things that are soft, we're talking about meat. So aim low, we would have thought not, because maybe in Chatas the meat isn't as soft, so things don't mix the same way into another thing, right? With the mincha, talking about oil, flour, dough, it's softer. Things of it can mix into something else. Whereas a Chatas, it's meat. It'll say meat doesn't mix into something else. We actually know Chatas, and if we tell you with Chatas that there's such a thing as taste going into another piece, and now the other piece having the status of this one. Actually, that's only true in Chatas, Mishum de Karir. Because chatas is thick, and because it's thick, there's a lot of fat, and the fat is caramelized. The fat, you know, rolls through the next piece. But the mincha doesn't have fat in the same way, and it's not so thick, so maybe it wouldn't go from one, the tastes don't go into another piece. So tzricha, I need a pasuk to say that just like in chatas, tastes go into another piece and give that other piece the status of where the taste came from. The same is true with a mincha. Another idea about chatas. The verse said chatas, to compare everything to chatas. Ma chatas ein abayel minachun. Maybe it's to tell you just like when you have a chatas obligation, you can't use your meiser sheni money to buy your chatas. And a chatas has to be by yom, has to be done by day. And a chatas has to be biyadu ayaman, has to be with the right hand. I've called so to all other karbanos ein abayel minachun. You can't use meiser sheni money to buy your karban. And it has to be by yom, it has to be brought by day, and it has to be biyadu yamanis with your right hand. Chatas minan, how do we know that the chatas has all those laws? Amar Rav Chisda Markra, Rav Chisda says from the following pasuk, v'ikriv Aaron as parah chatas asher lo, and Aaron will bring his bull as a chatas, which is his, mishalo, it has to be from his money, v'lo mishal tzibur, it can't be something that the community paid for. It has to be parachatas asher lo. So it has to be his money, velo ma'aser sheni. Can't be using ma'aser sheni monies to buy a chatas, to fulfill his obligations. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, one second, by yom, do we learn the idea that karbanas have to be brought by day from the fact that all karbanas are compared to chatas? We have another pasuk. The pasuk says about karbanos. In the other parsha, tzav and biyom tzav also nafka. Everything is from the day that he was commanded. So, Gemara says, you're right. Today naspa. This brisa is just throwing something in. It's really not necessary. It's really learned from biyom tzav also. One second, biyada yamanes. Are we learning the idea that karbanos, the service has to be done with the right hand, from the fact that all karbanos are compared to chatas and chatas was done with the right hand? We learn the idea of right hand from another source, from Rabbi Bar Chanan. Rabbi Bar Chanan Rish Lakish. The Torah says finger, like or kohen, or it says kohen. You know, El Yamin has to be the right hand. So in all karbanos you have either the fact that it says kohen, or it says yamin, or it says etzba. So that's how you know it's the right hand. That's from the fact you're learning from Chatas. So Gemara says you're right. Kedei Naspo was thrown in, it really wasn't necessary. And if you want, I'll give you the following answer. Savala could be Shimon, this Tana, the Bryce holds like could be Shimon, who holds an Etzba Loba Yakuhuna. Wherever the Torah says the word Etzba, even if it doesn't say Kohen, then it means the right hand. But if it says Kahuna, it doesn't mean the right hand. Baya Etzba, it needs the word Etzba to mean the right hand. That's why you have to learn from Chatas that all the karbanos need to be with the right hand. Because it's true, in every karban it mentions the word kohen, but it doesn't always mention the word etzba. They don't all need a finger. Only the Chatas needs to have the kohen's finger dipped in and then smeared on the edges of the mizbeach. The Torah, yeah, question.
Chatas has more restrictions than the other
korban. True, that's the biggest deal. It's wiping away a sin of chi of karis. We saw it was makudash. It was holier than other korban.
They have to clean up the blood. They have to cut.
Yeah, there's a lot of laws. That's right. Now the Torah compares all the korbanos to asham. Ma asham atzmos of mutar, and that tells you another thing. That just like the bones of the asham are permitted, of kol atzmos of mutar, so to the bones of all korbanos are permitted. Amar Rava said, Pshitli, it's obvious to me. Going back to the concept of this chapter, let's say you have the blood of a chatas that splatters into a garment, so there's a special mitzvah to wash the garment in the azara. What happens if it's dam chatas lamata, v'dam ola lamala? Let's say it's the blood of the chatas that goes into the garment, and then on top of it, the blood of Ola goes into the garment. Now it's on kibbutz, you're going to have to do the laundry to take out the blood of Chatas. But boy, Rav had the following question. What happens if Dam Ola went in first? Dam Ola Lamata. The Dam Chatas Lamala. The blood of Chatas now splatters on top. It doesn't actually go into the fibers. It's just sitting on top of the blood of the Ola. So Mahu, what's the halacha? Does it need a laundry with the 7 detergents as we learned about earlier? Mishum nogea huva nogea is the point that blood of chatas is touching the garment. So here you have blood touching the garment. So then you should have to do kibbutz. You should have to do the laundry. Odom mishum baluahu. Or maybe the idea of laundry is because things get absorbed inside and you have to take them out through laundry from being absorbed inside. Valo balan. If you have blood on top of the... If the blood of chatas is only on top of ola, the ola went inside. The blood of chatas is just on top. It's not absorbed inside. So then, that was after Rava's question, Hadar Pasha. Then Rava understood. He said, no, listen, the whole idea of kibbutz is to wash out what's absorbed inside. So here, it was on top. So ain't tun in kibbutz, it doesn't need to be washed out with the 7 detergents, because it's on top, right? It's laying on top. So the post can point out, I still have to rub it off, you still have to scratch it off. It's like a garment. Not like a garment, it's like a utensil. If blood goes on a utensil, you have to scratch off the blood, but the blood does not get absorbed inside. Amar Rava said, Pshitli, it's also obvious to me. Talking about another halacha of blood in a garment. Talking about now chatzitza. Is it a barrier if you put it into the mikvah? It's obvious to me, dam al bigdo, if there's blood that goes onto a garment and the garment needs to go into the mikvah, chotzeitz, that blood would be a chatzitza and the immersion of the garment into the mikvah didn't work. However, yimtabachu, but if he is a... if he is a cook, a butcher, right? He's a butcher. So a butcher is always in with blood. So then in a chotzitz, he doesn't mind blood on his garment. So since he doesn't mind the blood, it's not considered a chatzitz. It's not a barrier. Similar halacha, revav al bigdol. Let's say there's a fat stain on a garment and it went into the mikvah. Chotzitz, that was a barrier. The tefillah is not a good immersion. However, moche revavu, but if he's somebody who sells schmaltz, he sells fat, so he's happy to have fat stains on his garment. That doesn't bother him. So if it doesn't bother him, it's not a chatzitza. It's not a chatzitza. But Rav, the following question. What happens, similar to this last question, what about if there's dam, if there's blood on the garment, and revav, and there's a fat stain, al bigdo, mahu, what's the halacha? Is it together a chatzitza or not? So then the Gemara says, look, one second. Im tabachu, if he's a butcher, he doesn't care about the blood stains. typically mishum revav. So then let's say because of the fat stain it is a chatzitza, because he does care about fat stains. V'moshka revav, if somebody sells fat, typically mishum dam. So then Gemara says the blood should be a chatzitza. What was this question even? We're talking about a guy who's both a butcher and he sells chicken fat too. So he sells, he cuts up meat, then he sells chicken fat. So now the question is, when we say that people don't mind if that's their profession, maybe they don't mind one thing, but we will mind two things. So if they do mind two things, then it is a chatzitza. Well, don't we say, since his profession is to deal with the fats and to deal with the blood, he doesn't mind even having both stains. And therefore, it's not a chatzitza. When it says that question of Rav, we don't know an answer to. Teku, we're going to wait for Mashiach to answer. Hadran Allah, Bezos Hashem, Yisbarach, Perak, Temchatas, Vahadrach Allah. Now we begin a new chapter discussing the parts of the carbon that are divided to Kohanim to eat. And we learn about the following. You know, let's say it's a karban. A kohen is entitled to get some of the meat of a asham or of a chatas to eat it. He also gets some of the skins. He gets the skin of an ola. So what happens if you have a kohen who's a tvulyom? He became tummy. Let's say he had a discharge of semen. So he went to the mikvah, and he's now waiting for the sun to set to become fully pure. Or he's a mechusar kippurim. The kohen was a mitzora or a zav. He became tahar. He went to the mikvah, but he's waiting for the eighth day to bring his karbanos. His karbanos have not been brought on his behalf yet, so he can't eat karbanos yet. So now they want to get a piece of meat for later. Einan cholkim, they're not entitled b'kachim to get a piece of meat lecholo erev, even though he says I'm only going to eat this meat of the chatas tonight when I become tahar. Sorry. He can't get a piece of meat if right now he's still somewhat tummy. Let's say a Kohen loses a relative. He's an Onan. He just lost his brother. He lost his father, Chas V'Shalom. So a Kohen like that, no gas, allowed to touch a carbon. He's not going to make the carbon tummy by his touch. But Eino Makriv, he's not allowed to do the service. He's also not allowed to eat carbonos. And therefore, Eino Cholik, he's not entitled to a piece of meat of a carbon when it's being handed out. Even Le'echol Erev, even though he's saying, listen, tonight I'll be able to eat it because we're going to bury the relative this afternoon. Tonight I'll be able to eat. Nevertheless, we're not going to give him a piece of meat now that he is an Oni.
No
gear,
correct?
Yeah.
It's not Makriv or anything.
That's right, exactly. Can't do the service either.
Yeah.
Bali Mumin, if a Kohen has a blemish, let's say he's got a broken leg, so he can't do the service. Bain Bali Mumin over, and even if it's a blemish that passes, that's a broken leg. Bain Bali Mumin Kvun, or a blemish. It's not going to pass. He has this condition. He had his leg amputated. Cholkin ve'ochlim. They are still allowed to get meat of karbanos. They can eat it. Avalo makrivim. They can't do the service. Kol shein aroy la'avoda. Any kohen who can't do the service. Ein cholek ba'basar. He's not entitled to get some of the meat. The only exception being balei mumin. V'kol shein lo ba'basar. Now any kohen who's not entitled to some of the meat. Ein lo ba'oros. Is also not entitled to any part of the skin. Even if you have a coin who was impure at the moment that the blood of this carbon was thrown, and he was tar by the time that the insides of the carbon, the fats of the carbon, are being burned at night, he is not entitled to the meat. Because the pasuk says, the one who offers the blood of the shlamim and the fats from the children of Aaron, lo sihiye, to him it shall be shok kayamin, the right thigh limana as his portion. So that means hamakriv, someone who is not tohor cannot be a makriv, he cannot be offering, and since he cannot be offering, therefore he's not entitled to any of the meat. So that's the source.
So the Kohen has no service, no food?
No service, no food, or no share. So that's it.
Rabbi, if he was a Shemesh and he, now when the Mechalkim does
it, he
can get the piece or not? Because
no,
the Shvita or Zrikat Adami.
Yeah. Oh, no, so it says like here from the Zrikas Adami. If the Zrikas Adami wasn't good, he can't get it later. One second, let's just go a little bit further. Says the Gemara, Minani mili, how do we know this? That Kohanim who can't do the service are not entitled to some of the meat. The pasuk says, the Kohen who creates the atonement of it, he's the one who eats it. Kohen mechate, the Kohen who throws the blood, ochel, is the one who eats it. So now Reish Lakish continues and asks, klalahu, is this a rule? The rest of the Kohanim in that shift, you know, we had a whole shift of Kohanim for every week. So the rest of them, they're not throwing the blood. Only one Kohen throws the blood, and yet they're allowed to eat. So as Reish Lakish, it means like this: it has to be a Kohen who would have been able to throw the blood. So the Kohanim are not able to throw the blood because they're tamei at the time of the throwing of the blood. They can't eat the meat. Asks Reish Lakish in a second, but a great Kohen, but what about a katan? What about a child? Ain't a royal lechitu. He can't do the service, and yet he can eat the meat. So Elas, what does it mean? My yochlena. What does it mean? He'll eat it. Yechalkena. It'll be divided up. So a royal lechitu cholek, a Kohen who can do the service, he's entitled to a share. Shein royal lechitu, the Kohen who's not able to do the service to throw the blood, ain't a cholek, is not entitled to a share. Now, a child doesn't get a share, he just gets from his father's share. The Gemara asks, but in the Mishnah we learned that a Baal Mum does get meat. Yep. Baal Mum, a Baal Mum who has a blemish, he can't throw the blood, and Cholik, he does get a share.
Yep.
Says the Gemara, Baal Mum, Rachmana Rabbi, there's a special pasuk that a Baal Mum is entitled to get some of the meat. Where it says, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochal Osa, every male of the Kohanim will eat it, L'Rabos Baal Mum, to include a Kohen who is blemished, if he gets to eat from it, he gets a share. Ask the Gemara of Ema, why don't we say, Kol Zachar L'Rabos Tavuyom, to include someone who's somewhat Tahar, he went to the mikvah, he's waiting for the sun to set on him. The Gemara says, "Mestabra Baal Mum Avolir Buya." Makes more sense to include the Baal Mum, Shekein Ochel, because he's entitled to eat. So since he's entitled to eat, he's entitled to get a share. Adarabba Tful Yom Avolir Buya Dilur to Mechzachazi. Maybe the Tful Yom should be included because that night he's already going to be fully tar. The Gemara says, "Still Hashtem Yolochazi," but right now he is not worthy. He's not able to do it. He's also entitled to eat from the meat.